Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Okay, we're live.
You just rolled your eyes.
Did.
Like,
well, I mean, what's this turning into?
Hey, I'd like to share my musical progress with my listeners.
Abbott Kinney Idol.
Ay-yay-yay. Hey, everybody. It's Healthy Gut Girl, and this is Stuff Your Doctor Should Know. And I'm here with Mark Lobato.
Hello, that is I.
Excuse me. I've been having a little tickle in my throat today. I don't know why.
Come back. There
Sorry.
You go.
Listen, we are having this really cool guest, or we already had him, and we're just doing our little intro now. But he was so cool. This was a really, really interesting,
interesting.
Answer me this question. Okay. Was I coughing the entire time? No.
You were coughing earlier. Like,
the second we pressed record, I started coughing. I'm allergic to recording.
You're allergic to electronics.
Maybe
you're a Luddite. You're related to the Luddites.
The Luddites?
Yeah, Luddites were just, they were known for not being technological at all.
Well, that's for sure
me. No
Clearly, with all the technical difficulties we had, maybe we're, I don't know. So, we're having this guest named Dr. John Jaquish, right?
Jaquish.
And he's the inventor of the most effective bone density building medical device, which has reversed osteoporosis for thousands and created more powerful fracture-resistant athletes. John is now partnered with Tony Robbins and OsteoStrong for rapid clinic deployment. In the process of his medical research, he also quantified the variance between power capacities from weak to strong ranges in weightlifting, which brought him to his second invention, the X3 bar. So listen, this guy is he's a research professor at Rushmore University. He speaks at scientific conferences all over the world. He's been featured on many of the top health podcasts, and he's an editor of multiple medical journals and is a nominee of the National Medal of Science. So this guy's no joke. I'm not just going to have anybody on the show who invented a medical, or not a medical device, but, you know, a workout thing, a workout
method. Yeah, but, you know, as you just read that, you know, droll thing. And I don't mean in a bad thing. Bad way. It's like, okay, great, but why are we having them on? Because you went to a class and you were like, this is amazing.
Okay, I'll tell you the story.
And I mean, yeah, there's a story behind it because that...
Well, that's just his bio.
Yeah, that's bio.
Just reading his bio.
But I didn't know anything about it until you told me about it.
Right.
And that's why you're having him on.
Well, one of my good friends and neighbors, she, we go to the dog park. We take our dogs to the park in the morning. And she started this little salon at her home. And it's called blah, blah, blah. The salon she has, it's really funny.
It's, oh, where, it's really, you know, called she gets, blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, okay. Where you've been to one where you like have a speaker come and speak to a group of people about whatever. And I've spoken there on multiple occasions about health and whatnot. And one day there was a guest, a girl there, and she came, and she happened to be from New Mexico, so we had an instant connection. And she worked at OsteoStrong. And she said, hey, I work at this revolutionary new way of working out place, and I'd like to give you a few, you know, a couple free visits. So I went, and it was amazing. It was really different, very cool, very easy. I mean, it's very attractive because you're only working out for like 10 minutes. And that, of course, to me was like, yes, okay. You know, I mean, everybody wants...
Yeah, and right away you say 10 minutes. Okay, great. What, a Los Angeles workout, 10 minutes, and you could look like...
Right, Giselle. But, you know, the thing is that we know that, you know, working out, that being fit takes a lot of work. And, you know, I'm not lazy. I just don't like working out. You know, I like doing other things. And, but I know that in order to get certain benefits, certain health benefits, like the older I get, you know, I have to be concerned with bone density and I have to be concerned. I'm always concerned with hormone balance and with weight loss and things like this. And it takes work. It takes effort to achieve those things, to achieve benefits in those areas. And so I know that. But along comes this thing, and it's got this incredible science behind it, incredible. And I was blown away and sold right away. So I wanted to interview him because I want to get more information before I actually drop some money and start going to this gym or buying the X3 bar, which is this bar that you have at home and you work out with. And, you know, I don't want it to be like some Beachbody.com, like ab buster. You know, I want this to be like something that has a lot of science behind it and that's really good. So that's why I wanted to have him on.
Okay. I'm interested. I want to know what he has to say, what this is all about, and really what the science is behind this. Because apparently what you just read and what you told me, and there's a lot of evidence that shows this is a very effective form of exercising. Okay, 10 minutes. I'm open to it.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, check it out.
Here we go.
So, okay, cool. Well, here you are. Thank you for being with us and
thanks for having me.
Handling us. and
who
you met
are
Mark.
You?
Who are you?
Yeah, who just are we talking to here, please.
Yeah, just introduce yourself because I'm super excited and I want my my audience members to know why.
Okay. Well, my name is John Jaquish. I'm a doctor of biomedical engineering. And I developed a couple of things that really help a lot of individuals. You want the full background right now?
The intro sort of went into your bio, but I do want to know. You know what I want to know? Let's talk about what you invented and how that happened.
Okay. Yeah, and I'll do it in chronological order. So about 10 years ago, my mother was diagnosed with osteoporosis, and I was in school, and she was very upset, and she told me, "Oh, I think I'm going to die." And my mother's very dramatic, so I said, "Well, why is that?" She says, "I was diagnosed with osteoporosis," and I thought, "Okay, well, this is an actual thing, unlike some of the other things that she thought was, you know, going to end her life." And so I said, you know, let me look into this. And as I read about osteoporosis, I had just a very different opinion than some others had. And I said, this is deconditioning of bone. And anything that's deconditioned can become reconditioned. Your listeners should write that down. Because there's evidence now that even people who have degrading eyesight can exercise their eyes. And they can regain their eyesight, the eyesight that they previously had, with certain deconditioning, the flexibility, the contractile properties of the muscles that surround the eye. It's just deconditioning from not looking at things far away and then close up and having to readjust. So what I did was I said, okay, Mom, I'm gonna find research that has isolated individuals that have the highest levels of bone density. I'm going to find out how they did it. And so that answer, when I asked the right question, was crystal clear. It was gymnasts. And it has to do with the way that gymnasts hit the ground. And then I also found, and this is mind-blowing to a lot of physicians, but of course, I hope they're listening because this is something they should know. I found 25,000 different studies showing bone density growth based on impact level loading, similar to the gymnasts, or some of these were on gymnastics or box jumps. 25,000 studies showing growth of bone in very high levels of load. But of course, these were not necessarily safe protocols, or they were highly monitored by physical therapists or the people with a gymnastics background. And the exclusion criteria when looking at a lot of studies is kind of crazy because they, and this is true of almost all medical studies, is they want to find somebody that doesn't have any other confounding factors. So they isolate some group of people who's never taken a medication, never had anything wrong with them. And that's not the regular population most people are on. I think it's 2.7 medications who are over 50 years old. Wow. But what I saw in this huge body of literature was an overwhelming understanding of putting high force on bone and eliciting a response. 67% of the cohorts in those studies that I just referenced mm-hmm. were over the age of 50 also.
Wow.
So this wasn't just gymnasts. This was majority adults, people who are actually compromised when it comes to their bone density. So once I saw this and I saw some of these protocols that you wouldn't call safe but interesting from a scientific perspective, I said, okay, what I'm going to do is instead of creating impact, I'm going to emulate impact. Hmm. So give the benefit of high impact without the risks. So we use computerized biofeedback system, and this is what I developed for my mother, computerized biofeedback system, and just isolating the positions where a human would naturally absorb impact force. So in doing so, the individuals can very aggressively grow bone density like these other 25,000 studies, but they don't have the risks because we've taken an out of control event, which is impact, and made it a very controlled event by which comfort is the guide for the individual. You have to be comfortable while you're doing it. So you're very slow and controlled manner, and kid, you've tried it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. So you, in a very slow and controlled manner, you're compressing bone on its axis, and it's very comfortable through the whole experience. Mm-hmm. And then when you discharge, you see a number that you've put through an amount of force that you've put through your bone mass in four different positions that is staggering compared to what even some of the strongest people would use in a gym. And then you have a detailed report that is emailed to you at the end of the session, and you can share that with your physician. The physicians really like seeing the metric of functional bone performance improve because they know of an individual started by loading their hip joint with 400 pounds, and then 6 months later, they can load it with 800 pounds. They know that this person is more likely to resist fracture because the entire musculoskeletal system is involved in avoiding fracture because muscles, tendons, ligaments decelerate individuals or discharge the loading and protect you. Whereas the medications just target bone. They don't do anything about the surrounding materials that are supposed to discharge this. They're there to discharge these high levels of forces. So we have fantastic results. Mm-hmm. The only side effect is like joint pain reduction and strength.
Right.
So, right. So there's just no downside. This doesn't mean that it's for everyone. Mm-hmm. There's contraindications and people need to be relatively pain-free, relatively fully mobile. Mm-hmm. Somebody has paralysis. Obviously, they can't self-load a limb that has paralysis.
Right.
So going through the contraindications and if you're cleared for a high-intensity exercise-type experience from your physician, it's certainly worth a try. And there's another thing I say to physicians, you should always try physical medicine first because there's no downside to that. Mm-hmm. And some do, and they recommend a better nutrition program for someone with diabetes, right? Mm-hmm. That's the first step. You got to clean up your nutrition. That may help you. And then now you can recommend OsteoStrong. Mm-hmm. Which is what it's called, OsteoStrong. OsteoStrong.me is the website. And you can read all the research there. And there's a good physician section. They can read all the actual clinical data as opposed to the interpretations. Mm-hmm. So it's been fantastic, and it has helped tens of thousands of people around the world.
Including your mother, who had dramatic
results. Yeah, I actually frequently forget to bring that back up. But yeah, so I created it for my mother. Thank you. Thank you so much for bringing that up again. So yes, my mother in 18 months. So she went from being right at the diagnosis level of osteoporosis, negative 2.5 T-score. In 18 months, her T-score was almost zero. So in her 70s, she had the bones of a 30-year-old coming back from osteoporosis. And she still does today. She's 81.
Was she taking any medication at the time?
No, she never would.
Okay.
She never wanted to. Yeah, she just read the side effects and she said, I'd rather have osteoporosis than have the side effects.
So then this is you're saying that this is a deconditioning of bone. Now, is that also when you say deconditioning, it's also when people get older, they tend to get more sedentary. They tend to, you know, it's just age. They're sitting around more. They're not as active. But is it also a decline in their nutrition? So it's probably both of those things. Is that right?
It is also, yes. Well, okay, it's a little more complicated than that, in that a lot of different inflammation and recovery that's required needs calcium. So this can damage bone. So for example, somebody with, and this is a great example because it's one of the things that damages bone pretty significantly is smoking. Mm-hmm. But another thing that damages bone significantly is a burn. As in, like, let's say you burned a lot of skin. Let's say you spilled your tea in your lap. Mm-hmm. That can compromise bone mass, too.
Really?
You have some significant...
It draws calcium from your bones when something...
That's right. That's right. Because calcium is like a battery. Mm-hmm. And so it's not the chemicals in the cigarette that are necessarily damaging. More research is needed on the subject. But what we do know is you can have no chemicals at all. You can just have fire or boiling water. And that is what is drawing the calcium. So wound healing has a lot to do with calcium.
Trauma response.
Yeah.
It makes me think
exactly.
of that, like, heat shock proteins. I guess at a certain point it becomes too much, and that becomes, it goes from being a kind of a good thing, like getting into a dry sauna and creating these mm-hmm. heat shock proteins that elicit a little bit of stress that then cause some healing, but then mm-hmm. going too far and actually damaging, and then having some like demineralization happen.
Yep.
So then, so many questions all of a sudden popped into my brain. So, okay, first let me give people a little picture of what I experienced when I went. So it's a really cool office, first of all, and it's like there's four machines. Is that right?
Okay. Yes, there's four different ways the body absorbs high impact force.
So you do these, like, you do the vibroplate first and you get all juicy, and then you get onto the first one and it's for 10 seconds. Is that right? Or is each?
What you're under compression for, where it's really targeting the recording of your functional bone performance, mm-hmm. is only. It's only 5 seconds, actually, but the whole experience may take 10 or 15 seconds because you're building up to the peak loads mm-hmm. and then you're discharging. And, of course, you're moving slow in, slow out. I tell – and men have some trouble with this because they want to be explosive. And I tell them, if you're explosive, that's just impact. That's not impact emulation. And what happens is you actually trigger neural inhibition and shut muscles off, which will keep you from going further. And so it doesn't matter how many times I say that, a lot of guys will just do it anyway. I don't know. You know any thick-headed guys?
None.
I met one.
Zero.
Yeah, right. So
because they want to feel something's actually working, because if they don't feel
right. But if they go slow – like when you watch me do it, I'm a very muscular individual.
Okay.
Everybody expects me to just hammer right into this thing. And it looks like I'm doing yoga. Mm. Like, it is slow and controlled, and I'm listening to my breathing, and I'm watching the biofeedback screen. Mm-hmm. And then I'll come up with a number that's like I'm at 2,200 pounds through my arms. I'm at 3,500 pounds through my hip joint, my lower extremities. I'm at 1,600 pounds through my spine.
Wow. My numbers were close
to that. So I have adapted to these levels over 10 years of using the device. I'm 2 standard deviations or more above normal when I take a DEXA scan. And the reason I say or more is the machines really only go that high.
Mm. Are you supplementing with any other weight training workout, or is this specifically all you do?
That is an awesome question, which leads me to the next thing I want to talk about. When somebody lifts weights, we only know what the relevant, what's called the minimum dose response is for bone growth in the hip joint. Minimum dose response is a method used whenever anything in medicine, or at least it should be used whenever anything in medicine is recommended. It's what is the minimum amount of whether it be a drug or how many glasses of water or whatever are required to get the effect that we're looking for.
Okay.
You know, how much, if somebody's extreme dehydration and they're urinating blood because of food poisoning, how many liters of sodium chloride would be the minimum dose response to get them to normalize, right? Okay. So, or aspirin, like if you take this, aspirin's good for a headache. Well, 5 milligrams or 5,000? Well, 5 milligrams won't do anything. 5,000 will kill you. But 500's pretty good. So that's the minimum dose response. It's how much you need to take to get the effect you're looking for and not overdo it. So they just, some researchers, some guys that I know through the World Congress on Osteoporosis, after I was going in and doing this impact emulation therapy devices, the first few prototypes, these guys saw them. They picked up on one of the observations that I made, which was we don't really know what the minimum dose response is. And they came up with a brilliant study, one of the coolest studies I've ever seen. What they did was they taped accelerometers to people's hip joints, and then they had them do whatever exercise protocol they were excited about doing. So, like, kids went out and played soccer or did gymnastics. Middle-aged people went and did dance classes or whatever they did already. Mm-hmm. So these were individuals who were active. That was part of the pre-screening of the study. And what they found was they would look at the accelerometer data, and then they'd do blood draws to see if bone was being created. And because you can do that with a blood test. And what they found out is those individuals who failed to achieve more than 4.2 multiples of their own body weight through their hip joint did not grow any bone at all. So think about your body weight, multiply it by 4. You're using less weight than that. You're not doing anything for bone. Right.
You mean
and so,
just in that one area of the body? Is that a general rule?
No, that would be systemic because the blood test is you know, it's circulating all over the body. It wouldn't be any osteogenesis at all. Now, we do see effects locally with the OsteoStrong devices because we do compress the upper extremities. We don't know what the minimum dose response is. But they were really looking for the individuals who were triggering bone growth. The accelerometer was on the hip. but they could have triggered osteogenesis in another bone, but they didn't. So the point is 4.2 multiples through the hip joint. That is a if somebody's lifting weights.
That's like 512 pound squatting for me, or
right, which is something you would never even attempt to do.
Never.
Right.
Not to mention
right.
the damages and, on one's knees on that one.
Sure. Well, and that brings me to my next invention. But ultimately, we'll just stick with OsteoStrong for a second. OsteoStrong makes getting to these minimum levels so easy and safe. And that's really the breakthrough. It's osteogenic loading is not new. There's more data in medical research on impact emulation and osteogenic or impact and loading of the bone. There's more data on this and research on this than there are on most drugs that are prescribed today.
Wow.
But there was just never a consistent and safe way to do it until OsteoStrong. So
that's interesting because, you know, the first thing that doctors say to you is you need to do load-bearing exercises, weight-bearing exercises in order, you know, when you get older, because that's what's going to help you grow your bone density.
Right, and that's a terrible recommendation because it comes without a dosage. That's like saying aspirin is good for headaches, and then somebody takes 5,000 milligrams and dies. So it's like, well, how much? So when they say weight-bearing exercise, well, I can hold a glass of wine. That's weight.
Right.
Is that building bone? I mean, there's a lot of people who would sign on to that. Not going to be effective. Mm-hmm. So what is the level of weight and what is understood now? Especially after this study, it was done in Bristol, United Kingdom, it is far higher than somebody is going to use in a fitness environment. And so what ended up happening is I was doing some, while this was going on, in fact, just after this published, I was doing some research in a hospital in London. I actually wrote the protocol and taught them how to use the device, and then I excluded myself from the rest of the study because I'm the inventor of the product, I obviously have a bias. Mm-hmm. And so I uninvolved myself from the rest of the research. So running the protocol, the principal investigator had I had no effect over that guy. He worked for the British National Health Services. Okay. So what they discovered, they grew bone. It was like 13 and 14% in the hip and spine. Over 6 months plus a two month lag before taking the post DEXA scans, that far exceeds any clinical data on any drug ever.
That's amazing.
Right. And these people were like, they like lost weight and they felt fantastic and they were happy. And that principal investigator, he was a clinical psychologist by training. And so what he decided to do is write about some of the psychological impact, which I think is almost as exciting as some of the physiological impact, because they all felt that before their health was something that was out of control. Mm-hmm. And after going through these 6 months, they said, for the first time in my life, I feel like I can control my health.
Mm. You know, it's so interesting because I think anybody who hears, oh, there's this new workout thing and it's like you only have to work out for, you know, 10 minutes and it's only once a week. Like right away, you just go, yeah, that sounds crazy. But then, you know, when I did it, I was so amazed at how weak I was with that resistance part of it, where you're just pushing or you're pulling or you're whatever it is that on each machine that you do. That resistance, it's like I was shaking so hard. And then I said to Sarah, I'm so weak. And she's like, anybody is going to push to this point, to where they get to this, not fatigue, but like, you know, where they're shaking a little bit. That's the idea behind, and no one ever gets on this and says, oh, look, I don't shake anymore. It's like you push it to your max. And that's where the strength
and
is
safely.
Yeah, I mean, it's so cool. But it when you're done, afterwards I felt really, really strong. But I was thinking, you know, like, I feel like I want to do it several times a week. Why can't you do it several times a week?
Great question. So you know how you can go for a run and then your lungs, your cardiovascular system can recover in a couple hours. So there's people who go for a run in the morning and one in the evening. Mm-hmm. So your lungs, your cardiovascular system has a specific recovery rate. When you train a muscle and take a muscle to fatigue, based on biopsy research, there's a lot of fitness people that like to argue these points, but we have muscle biopsy research, which kind of ends that discussion, mm-hmm. though, that I don't think some of them are aware. In 36 hours, the muscle is recovered.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
That's the rate. You get people like, you know, you can only work a muscle once a week if it's like, nah, that's wrong. Hmm. And after that biopsy study, it should have ended the conversation, but fitness is not as an industry is not always an industry that looks towards clinical research. because there's not a lot of people who understand it. Mm-hmm. So there's terrible recommendations out there that have been established as terrible recommendations for 40 years.
Right.
And people continue to, you know, like anybody who wants to lose weight, if they do cardio, if they sit down with me for half an hour, they will stop doing cardio.
Really?
Yes.
You just became we'll get my best friend.
So is this also another sort of side effect, is that you can actually lose weight from this because you're burning enough calories where you would see
well,
significant
difference? Let me get to that next. That's my next invention. So where was I with osteogenic?
That people have they think they need recovery time.
Wait. Right, right. Oh, yeah. You asked
why can't I do
OsteoStrong like every other day? Mm-hmm. Well, so the lungs have a certain rate of recovery. Muscle has a certain rate of recovery that's longer. Bone, the metabolic rate of bone is much longer than even that. Mm. So you want the bone to respond and recover before you put the stimulus on it again. And we know it's working when we see somebody's functional bone performance increasing week by week.
Right. That's right. Because it records everything. You see it. You see it right in front of you with this little heads up display that like shows you how you're doing. And then it's like, welcome, Catalina. You know,
it shows your previous numbers on there.
Yeah, it shows you all.
Did you have to go through a lot of trial and error to figure that out? The time frame between the intervals between
who, me?
Well, no, I'm asking.
Oh, not you,
Kat. Yeah. So that was part of my PhD dissertation, was doing the research for determining sort of the little details of how to apply the protocol to do this, because I actually invented it and then went and completed my PhD after that.
Oh, wow. So you were doing all this in the middle of your studies.
Yeah, doing it all together.
That's cool.
Yeah. 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 It ended up being incredibly cool. I had an awesome PhD experience. It's not often where your project is your life's work. I had an ex-girlfriend who got her PhD in material science engineering, and it was very difficult for her. She couldn't care less about what she was working on. And it's like, you know, you're working 16 hours a day on something that you just, you know,
that's a sure way
you don't care
life.
About.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you certainly had a great rather inspiration and motivation to do it.
Yeah. Your mama.
Yeah. Right. It's my mom.
So
love always prevails. That's why I like.
Yeah,
it does.
When we move, before we move on to the to your other invention that I really want to do, is I did some homework before chatting with you and read your blog, and then I went down the rabbit hole and started reading about this PubMed study about testosterone in men and bone density, and increasing bone density and helping to increase testosterone levels as men age. But it didn't say anything mm-hmm. about women. Can you speak on any of that?
Yes. Let me get a more specific question first. Are you asking, like, women who receive testosterone replacement therapy, are they able to build bone?
No. Okay, I'll be really specific. So I'll make it a two-part question. So the first part is with
because that happens, by the way.
Okay.
There are physicians who will give a dose. It's not the same dosage they give to men. But there are women on testosterone
therapy. Well, I've
done
it. I've done it. And that's something I've always had for as long as I can recall, is pretty low testosterone, pretty unremarkable, in fact, like undetectable practically. And when I do testosterone supplementation, not to get super techie with the listeners, but they're pretty savvy, I push it down the wrong pathway and end up, you know, instead of getting better recovery from workouts, I get chin hairs, you know, that kind of thing. And so I feel like I've always felt like if I could just increase my workout capacity, I would be able to raise my testosterone levels. And this PubMed study says that's exactly how it works in men. And that when men, I'm sure if when men do these, does the OsteoStrong, they probably raise their testosterone levels. That's the first question.
It's never been studied specifically with the devices that I invented, but we're going to talk about testosterone and growth hormone. The putting huge forces through the body, the largest forces, tends to yield the greatest testosterone response. So that would be OsteoStrong. Mm-hmm. And that would also be universal for men and women. Now, part of the reason that exogenous, meaning via, mm-hmm. you know, some other method, whether it's a pill or an injection or whatever, exogenous introduction of testosterone or any hormone, you have receptor sites that are sensitive to certain hormones. Mm-hmm. When you activate them via activity or through the central nervous system, the receptor sites of where that hormone or peptide is sensitive to, you upregulate the receptor and you upregulate how much you have circulating in your bloodstream. So basically, the hormone is created when it has a specific place to go. Mm. The problem with, and this is like all the way from performance enhancing drugs to testosterone replacement therapy, you don't necessarily control where the exogenous hormone goes when you're not upregulating the receptor site at the same time you're introducing the chemical.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So triggering it naturally is always going to be the better way. There's actually some pharmaceuticals on their way. I shouldn't even call them. Well, they will be regulated, but there's no reason. There's really low impact, low risk. They could be sold. I think they're being sold as supplements today. They're androgen receptor modulators that look to, now I'm not recommending these, they're not FDA approved or anything, but they're on the way and they're in trials. And what they do is they'll like upregulate your reception of testosterone. So then when you do like go through a heavy loading experience, which is, could be, you know, heavy is now changed with the invention of OsteoStrong, because we're talking about hundreds or thousands of pounds to the body. And then when you upregulate the reception and then create more testosterone, it knows where to go. It knows what to do. And you have an incredible effect.
That's amazing. And not to get off topic here, but that really makes me think about, you know, I have a Facebook group called the Estrogen Dominance Support Group, and it's got over 9,000 members. And, you know, a lot of us do progesterone therapy. And there's very different levels of the way women absorb, if you will, or uptake the cream. Some women have remarkable results and other women have horrible results. And it sounds like the exact same issue with upregulation of certain receptor sites. So I wonder if they'll do that for progesterone for women too. But it's always the men get the goodies first, but then women will get to benefit soon. So interesting. So then the osteo, so let's tie that in with, you know, some, like, I know you can't say this, especially being a scientist and being, you know, a PhD in biochemical medicine, you can't and probably won't say, yes, OsteoStrong probably does help with hormone balance to some degree.
I would say, based on the existing clinical literature on loading of the body and upregulation of testosterone, that OsteoStrong would have a huge effect on the upregulation of testosterone. Probably one of the strongest ever recorded. And at some point we'll do that study, or some university will do that study. I got to stop doing the studies myself and get more universities and hospitals involved. Mm-hmm. There's the university we're talking to right now that wants to be sort of the official research institute. They're more focused on X3 than they are on osteosome. That's my other product.
Yeah.
So, and I'll talk about that next, but, they'll do that type of study. And, there's so much existing literature on heavy loads of the body. Mm. It's kind of like, we don't need to do it, but I really want to do at least one specifically on that. The problem is that with these types of studies, they're so expensive, and then people are comparing them to pharma studies where they might have 10,000 subjects and they paid maybe tens of millions of dollars, maybe $100 million to run a study. And whereas I'm out there developing therapy equipment, which has a tiny margins behind it. So like, I'll never be able to afford that kind of study. So instead of playing that game, because it'll always be like, well, here's 100 studies with whatever, thousands of subjects. Instead, I'm trying to get people to focus on the fact that we're not introducing any chemicals into the body. We're just showing the body how to upregulate what is already there, how to control what is already there. So there's no downside.
Right.
And another thing that modern medicine still doesn't grasp is homeostasis and what you can do with homeostasis. So your body always wants to get back to a neutral, right? If you get out of breath, your body wants to reoxygenate the bloodstream and get you back to a resting level. Your body basically wants you to be like chilled out, like not out of breath, not super hot, not super cold. Like you got to be medium everything. Mm-hmm. Your body kind of wants you to sit on the couch and do nothing.
Right.
But
especially my body.
You create everyone, the top athletes of the world. Some lazy people at times. I was working out with one of the strongest guys in the world a couple months ago, and he was just explaining certain things he does in his protocol to keep himself from cheating with different repetitions or whatever. And I said, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "I'm lazy.
Oh,
like, nothing about this do I want to do. Nothing." It's like, I want to eat a cheeseburger and watch TV is what I want
right.
to do. So it was really just funny coming out of this guy who's just an absolute, like, one of the greatest athletes I've ever seen, the world has ever
is
seen.
Is he like and one of that, these guys that pulls airplanes with his teeth and stuff like that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
that's amazing. That's inspiring absolutely. To know that even he's got
issues. Well, wait till he gets a little older. He might change his tune when he's like, this gut is a little too big for me. Yeah. Getting fractures.
Oh, no. He's a lean guy. He's all dialed in. But let me circle back to when I was doing this research in London. And I looked at some of the loading that was going through the lower extremities of these postmenopausal females in study. They were putting 6, 7, 8, even 9 times their body weight through their hip joints. And I'm thinking, okay, people can't handle 4 times their body weight. So I looked up what the American College of Sports Medicine was tracking in their database, and they have a few broad population studies of what types of loads are used with the lower extremities. It's usually between 1.3 times body weight for a novice exerciser and 1.53 for an advanced strength trained individual is what on average is used through the lower extremities. Mm-hmm. So this really tells me, if I just compare those two groups, humans have roughly 7 times the capability from strong range to weak range. And so I'm sitting there looking at that data, and I think lifting weights is a terrible way to trigger muscle growth, because the difference between weak and strong range is vast. So there had been individuals and studies done on like adding rubber bands to your weights. And so you handle, let's say if you're doing a bench press, you have X weight on your chest and then 1.2X at full extension. Well, it should really be X on your chest and 5X at extension or 6X or 7X or whatever. So tremendously more load. And so I thought, we don't need more weights. We need more variance. And if we get more variance, we can first fatigue the strong range of motion, which is something you cannot do with a weight.
Right.
Then we fatigue, in the same set, we fatigue the mid-range and then the weak range. Complete fatigue of a muscle in all ranges of motion in one experience. That's never been done before. And I developed a device that does it. It's called X3Bar, x3bar.com. and this thing will exhaust you quicker than you could ever possibly imagine. And then the growth responses are absolutely fantastic. And so there's a testosterone effect. Wouldn't be as high as OsteoStrong's, but they actually sell these units at OsteoStrong. If somebody wants one, go to the x3bar.com and just wants to check it out. There's most of the OsteoStrong locations are demo centers for X3. So you can go in one.
They have one when I go back.
They do. Okay. They do. So I already talked to Robert, okay. in your friendly neighborhood OsteoStrong location, right. And I said make sure that you get to check that out. So where I was going with sort of the preamble of this is creating an extreme environment. Ultimately, the exercise experience that is going to create the biggest effect is going to put the largest stress on the body. The largest stress on the body can only be handled for a short period of time. If it can be handled for a long period of time, then it's not a large stress, mm-hmm. by definition. So the best exercise experience is always going to be the shortest because it will be the most intense and thereby the greatest stimulus for change. Now, that doesn't mean somebody needs to hurry through their existing crummy compromised workout. They need to look for the strategy that's going to allow them to go to a more extreme environment, a greater level of muscular fatigue or bone fatigue with OsteoStrong. So with this process with X3, fatiguing all ranges of motion simultaneously, you end up dealing with weights that you would never think you would deal with. So I put a female through the other day who was using 300 pounds at the top of her chest press. Now, I only told her after she was done, but she's like, I can never handle 300 pounds. And I was like, well, you just did for 10 reps.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's only 300 at peak. Then it's 200 halfway and about 100 when it's, an inch away from her chest.
Right.
So, right. And she's a professional swimmer. And so going to fatigue in those three ranges of motion is such, it just wipes you out. And especially people who are ketogenic, really depletes their glycogen stores and pushes them into a deeper level of ketosis. And then that plus, this is another thing that I did in some of my research. Last summer I published a meta-analysis, which pulls together research from all areas of medicine on stabilization firing and growth hormone upregulation. Now, growth hormone is going to have a lot to do with how much lipolysis happens, how quick you lose body fat, mm-hmm. right? So stabilization firing was seen as an axis to triggering the upregulation of growth hormone. So let's say you stand on a Bosu ball and you do some light squats, you might get a 200-300% increase in growth hormone.
Wow.
That's not a hard workout.
Right.
That's something you can do while you're watching
Netflix.
Your favorite TV show.
Right.
While you're crying watching CNN. but that joke could go either way.
I know. Like that was funny.
Yeah.
It made me think.
Yeah.
Made me wonder.
I work hard on those because I have friends on both sides. I try and keep my jokes to be like, where everybody can laugh.
That's smart. Clever.
So Bosu ball, stabilization firing. Now, the only way you increase the amount of muscle that is recruited during the stability firing is adding more load. Now, X3 is the greatest strategy to adding more load, even load that you couldn't handle. Like when you're doing an overhead press, the weight that you handle at the top, you could never handle at the bottom. You wouldn't even be able to get it in position to start to lift the weight.
Interesting.
So you're kind of tricking your body into training with a much heavier weight than you ever would normally, thereby recruiting more stabilization firing, upregulating growth hormone, and then you increase your level of lipolysis. So people come up to me all the time, and I'm very lean. You can see veins in my abs. Not that that's what everybody's going for, but that's me. So I'm 218 pounds, 6 feet tall, 9% body fat. And so people ask me all the time, like, well, how do you cut your body fat? How do you stay that lean? And I tell them it's X3, and they go, yeah, but X3 is like 10 minutes a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm looking at your pictures on this website, okay, X3. And yep. And you look absolutely phenomenal.
Thank you.
You're not doing any supplements with weight. This is all, you've achieved this because
knowing what I know, I don't think I'll ever touch a weight again.
Wow.
Because the risk of injury, like being as strong as I am, I'd be risking injury trying to train with weights because they'd be heavy. I'm also 41 years old, so screwing around with weights is, you know, like I don't need that. Like when I'm looking to put a training stimulus on my body, I want to be as strong and as lean as possible. I'm not trying to come up with some bench press number that I can brag about on Instagram, like a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. My goal isn't to be good at exercises. My goal is to be as strong as possible. Well, knowing what I know about, about biomechanics, about capacities in different ranges of motion, this is the only way I'm ever going to train. Only.
Wow.
So no weights involved. There isn't even supplements I take other than brain octane. Mm-hmm. In my bulletproof coffee, and then I have a ketogenic diet.
Really? So you don't supplement with any kind of collagens or whey proteins or magnesium or anything like that?
No.
See, I this really resonates with me because I do a lot of nutrition with clients, and I'm always recommending a supplement protocol, but I never feel like it's the really what our bodies want, especially isolating nutrients. I never feel like that's where we're headed. And when I, or not where we're headed, but what our bodies are designed to really need or want. And when I went into OsteoStrong, I couldn't help but think, and I hope I can describe this properly, what my thought process was, but I couldn't help but think that the different positioning and the different exercises, if you will, which they're not really called that, right? What would you call them? They're not exercises. They're not poses. They're like
movements. I call them okay. movements.
They're kind of, they remind me of things that we must have done prior to having this era of convenience and, you know, prior to the Industrial Revolution when we have, you know, machines doing things for us, but rather like, and even going all the way back to hunting and gathering where you're like pushing, pulling like
farming
rocks, you're lifting things, mm-hmm. And that seems like more of the type of things our bodies are designed to do in terms of, or more efficiently, can do more efficiently. Does that make sense what I just said, guys?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Like the one where you kind of stand up straight, but your knees are bent, and then you're kind of like, it's like you're lifting up two suitcases. That movement, that on that osteo,
yeah.
That I couldn't help. I was like, this is something we do all the time. This is something we must have done since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
Is, you know,
absolutely
doing that position, not like box jumps. When are you ever gonna do burpees in when you're in a working the farm? You're not. You know, you're gonna pull and push things and try to push things over your head. And
let me give you another one. I speak at sometimes to trainers or physical therapists, and I say, who here supports the idea that a two-legged squat is a functional movement? And they all put their legs up, and I say, okay, so you guys must be the guys who are training the kangaroos, because people walk on one leg at a time. People lose their balance when they're on one foot, not two. 2 feet are used when you stop, similar to impact emulation. Like at OsteoStrong, we use 2 legs. But when you're training people from performance, what about doing one-leg squats?
Right.
And focusing on the, like, so that's what you do on the farm. You don't use both legs at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when you're picking up something off the ground, which is a little more like a deadlift type movement, but ultimately we walk on one leg at a time.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. And then, you know, going back to your statement about cardio, you know, I find that a lot of people that come to me who are not athletes, but who are active and have been active a lot their whole lives, that, you know, I feel like the cardio tends to put people in, especially if they're overdoing it to the degree that they're doing CrossFit a bunch. You know, it's like this adrenal fatigue issue, which I had a problem with CrossFit. And I just thought, this has to get easier. Like, when is this going to get easier? And the coaches are always saying, it doesn't. It's not supposed to get easier. But I never felt like I was getting more fit. I never felt like it was helping my, you know, my stamina at all. And so what do you do for that?
When you go to that level of fatigue, you're probably not selecting the right kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like a lot of female athletes that I've worked with. Now, females have a great measuring device, which is their menstrual cycle. Mm-hmm. So if you had a normal menstrual cycle and all of a sudden you don't, and you're training hard, you're overtrained. And that's going to cause a lot of problems. And so you can't out-train overtraining.
Right.
So what I try and do is encourage them to – I used to work with a ballerina who was just like – she did everything. She did Olympic lifting, and then she did her ballet practice for hours a day. And she did osteogenic loading and then so many other things. And then started talking about how her hair was falling out. Mm-hmm. And while I think that would be attractive on me, for example, because mine did, and I'm just owning it. I had to ask her. So you feel comfortable talking to me about your menstrual cycle? I'm not a medical doctor. I'm a PhD. So I can't, I told her, I'm not asking a medical question here, but you want to talk about this, I can talk to you about what's in the clinical literature. And she said, you know, funny you mention it. No, like I just stopped menstruating. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, that's a major red flag. And then so changed her nutrition a little bit, and then really cut back on the volume of exercise, and she started feeling fantastic. Mm-hmm. That people need to be aware of that.
Well,
a lot of guys will notice their ears are ringing if they're overtrained. Just lethargic all the time. But you know, for me, doing once per week osteogenic loading, and then I do X3 6 days a week, which takes 10 minutes or something like that. So my workout's still 10 minutes. You guys are looking at the picture of me. I look like an absolutely extreme athlete, and I'm working out like an hour or 70 minutes per week.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah. I mean, that's that. I definitely am sold. You know, it just makes sense. It not just because, of course, everyone wants an easier method of getting fit, but also because it just makes sense. It makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and I encourage everybody. Fitness has a lot of complainers and trolls, mostly because there's a lot of junk out there. Mm-hmm. So there are products that'll say we're going to solve all your problems for $39.95, and you know, it's garbage.
Right.
But so like I encourage people, like, please read the science page. Like, if you read the science page and you understand it, you'll say, okay, this is a better option than anything than a room full of weights.
Right.
Like I had somebody say the other day, I could have the Olympic Training Center or an X3, and I'd take an X3, because it'll do that much more. Here's another thing that for women, I don't know what your listenership is, male to female. Is it mostly female? Uh-huh. Okay. The most exciting thing that I tell women about X3 is what it can do to the back of their legs. Because there are women who are, by any measure, would be considered lean, but they still don't like the way the back of their legs look. And the reason is they don't have a good way to exercise the hamstrings. So there's a muscle on the back of your leg, your hamstrings, which is pretty much underdeveloped on almost all females, because the way to trigger growth there is deadlifts. Deadlifts are dangerous to the neck and back. Yeah, they're dangerous to the neck and back. Mm. But with X3, when you're in the weaker position, the position you would normally injure in, you're holding a very light weight. In the middle, you're holding a stronger weight, maybe the weight you normally work out with through the full range. And then at the top, you're holding a weight that you would never choose to use. But because you're in an optimized position, you can handle it. And so you go through multiple repetitions, fatigue the hamstrings. The hamstrings might grow an inch and stretch the skin on the back of the legs, and the back of the legs look dynamite.
Wow. Yeah. I could use some of that. Where can people see the videos of give them like the websites and everything.
Yeah, x3bar.com for checking out X3, and that's the body recomposition. It's going to make you a beautiful product. For OsteoStrong, it's osteostrong.me. And that is the musculoskeletal stimulus. A lot of athletes are taking advantage of OsteoStrong too. It makes them fracture resistant. You can hold more muscle on a stronger chassis. So by building bone density, you're optimizing everything that attaches to bone. Mm-hmm. It's the foundation. So a lot of people are just having such great experiences with both products. So it's osteostrong.me or x3bar.com.
And OsteoStrong, people have to go in to use the machines at an actual location, whereas the X-Bar you can...
Right. The machines are $100,000.
Wow.
X3 is a $499 product, and it's designed to be a home product. And you can actually take it everywhere. And I travel all over the world. It's in my suitcase.
Would one have the benefit of this kind of... the results you were speaking of with bone density growth with the X3 bar?
Great question. No, the weights aren't high enough. So like, even though in a chest press with X3, I hit 500 pounds at peak, that 500 pounds, I should probably relate it to squats. Even a 500 pound squat is not four times my body weight, because I weigh 220 right. pounds. So that it's not relevant to bone. Okay. You really need OsteoStrong. So they do different things. Mm-hmm. Though there's a similar logic behind both of them. It has to do with strategically loading the body in accordance to biomechanics efficiencies and inefficiencies. Both of them are the same logic, but they're for very different reasons.
Mm-hmm. And they both have multiple health benefits, which are all listed on both websites as well.
How many locations do you have for the OsteoStrong?
There's about 60 right now. Some of them are out of the country. We have a couple in Sweden, and there's two in south of Spain, and I believe we're going to have a Monaco location pretty soon. It's a great reason to go to Monaco, all right? Right. So I'm the worst guy to ask this question too.
There's
locations coming up. I think every month we're adding 10 or 15 locations.
So it sounds like something. Does insurance cover it by any chance for someone who might have osteoporosis?
No, but it's very affordable. It's typically between $150 and $200 a month. And this is something people need to pay attention to. You don't have to do it forever. Unlike if you want to build bone density, you keep the bone you build for 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So the problem with a lot of exercise programs, somebody does CrossFit.
That should take me to the end of my life.
They're right. Most people do that math in their head and they think, wow, how long am I going to be around?
That's a gym membership I want.
Right. Because like somebody who does CrossFit, they're running right on the edge of catastrophic injury every workout, and then they're saying, okay, well, now I got to do this forever if I want to stay in shape.
I know.
Huh.
I mean, I did it for 9 months, and I felt like, oh, man, now where is it all? You know, it's like all the money's gone, and the cute butt is gone.
Yeah. So these strategies, these things that I develop, promise I made to myself when I started developing these physical medicine therapy devices – is I'm not going to develop anything that my mom can't use. Now, the same product that put 30 pounds of muscle on me in 1 year, that's what X3 did, is what my mom's working out with.
Wow.
Her priorities are a little different. She doesn't want to have a shocking amount of muscle mass. She doesn't want to be able to lift up small cars.
Right.
I can do that. But she wants to stay healthy, have great posture, have great breathing. Mm. Both products have a huge postural readjustment. Your shoulders move back, which opens up your rib cage. You take more oxygen with every breath. Mm. This is the way we are supposed to breathe. But most people can't because they're slumped forward. And so you take more oxygen with every breath, you feel more energy.
Right.
More energy all day, every day.
And then you get more oxygen to the brain, and then your clarity is better, and your eyesight is better.
That's right.
And also, you know, just side note, I remember hearing about that older people who fall and break their hip are actually not falling and breaking their hip. They're actually breaking their hip and falling.
And then falling, right?
Ooh, is that right?
Yeah, isn't that shocking? It's just because the bones are so brittle. But
well, it's here's what how it works. They'll let's say they misstep off of a curb, hyperextend their leg, and they don't. Now you can hyperextend your knee, but you still have the musculature in the lower leg and in the ankle that can decelerate you slightly, right? You still have your obliques, your quadratus, your spinal erectors, your abdominals that can discharge some of this abrupt feeling, or even just like bend forward. So not all of the loading, this is the reflex. So not all the loading goes right into the hip joint. But when you have brittle bone and you have deconditioned muscle, or let's say you have brittle bone and you've built up the brittle bone with a drug, the things that are supposed to discharge that load aren't there.
Wow. So it's
the musculature, the tendons, the ligaments, they're not there. And so then the injury may be more likely to happen.
Right. Sick shock, the no shock absorber.
So this, what we're talking about is a complete, we're the only complete musculoskeletal treatment at OsteoStrong.
Impressive.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going back next
Everything
week.
Everything grows.
So.
I'm going to have to do a free session.
Yeah, they offer free session if you go to the OsteoStrong website.
Yeah, it's the drug dealer model, because they know if you do it a couple of times, you're going to feel fantastic and you're going to need it.
Yeah.
Will this kind of workout, or just, excuse me, a regimen, make someone an ectomorph into a mesomorph?
What?
I mean, I'm
that's definitely
foolish.
A male question.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
I know.
Yeah, only guys will know what you're talking about. it's definitely strong possibility.
I figured it would be.
I was the skinniest kid. I was skinny when I was, if I showed you a picture of me when I was 30, you wouldn't even recognize
really?
Me.
Really?
My guy just didn't work out at all.
You look like a world champion heavy lifter.
That's
now.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't lift weights. Don't touch him.
That's
amazing. I haven't had a gym membership in years.
If that's not a testament enough right there, in addition to all the clinical studies.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Right. It's the clinical evidence. And people are funny, though. They don't – there's a lot of skepticism in fitness because, like I said, there's a lot of junk products out there. Mm-hmm. And there's other – like, well, how about nutrition? There's so many junk products in nutrition. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say fake research
and
a lot of – when you see a research paper that's actually been published in a peer-reviewed journal, in a medical journal, that's real. But like the book The China Study, for example, it wasn't a study. It was a book.
Right.
He just called it a study.
Right.
Like, yeah, that's as crazy as saying, like, if you put the name FDA at the end of the title of your book, does that mean it was FDA approved, or are you just –
Right.
Trying to misguide people.
Yeah, we don't have laws against misguiding people. It's just anyone can get away with it. Caveat
emptor. Yeah. So I understand the skepticism of some people, but when you look at my results and you look at the fact that I'm a scientist, like I wouldn't get away with misleading anybody. And then on top of that, read the science page.
Right.
The clinical literature is absolutely clear.
And how did
there's no question.
How did Anthony Robbins get involved?
Like all the greatest connections I have ended up making in life, I was sitting there and doing nothing, and the phone rang, which is so strange. Like, I've tried to reach out to influential individuals over the year and years and try and get them excited about what I'm doing. I don't know. That doesn't seem to ever work. But I do get a lot of phone calls from very influential people just out of the blue. Dave Asprey was the same thing. Like 10 o'clock at night, there's a phone call, and I didn't recognize the number. And I thought, all right, I'll just go ahead and pick it up. And, hey, this is Dave Asprey.
Wow.
Wow, you're my favorite author. Really? Wow. Same thing with Tony Robbins. Called out of the blue and said, I want in. I want to be involved in what you're doing.
Well, how did understand he get introduced? Perfectly. Did he try a free session? Did someone tell him?
No. One of his financial advisor guys. So he has like a team of coaches that apply his methods. So one of the coaches that worked for him was also a financial advisor. That was his business, but his regular business. And so he was a pretty compromised individual, and he was a golfer, and he could barely make it through three holes because he was in so much pain. He had trouble walking right. So he used the device for a couple months, then saw Tony, and Tony looks at him and he says, "You're walking right again, and you've lost some weight, and you look fantastic." And the guy goes, "Yeah, well, I'm doing this new thing. You got to meet this guy, Dr. Jaquish." And so he called me.
Wow, that's so cool. Yeah. I love that.
And so I don't know. So did he just help you to get this off the ground? Is this what the involvement is? Did he just go, "Okay, I'm going to help fund this thing for you and get it out into the world"? Is that why? I mean, is that what happened? If you don't mind me asking.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no. It's I wanna help you get it to the world. And he has done
I
so.
Love that.
And now OsteoStrong presents on stage at his biggest shows.
Oh man, that's very
fantastic.
Cool.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah. I'm so happy to have had you here and just
Do you want our address so you could send us the next 3 bar to try out? I mean
Mark, you're
I know, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was good. Very sneaky.
There you go. Don't worry, you don't have to answer.
Yeah,
it's okay.
We'll talk offline. I'm gonna have the Los Angeles location. They'll take you through the whole thing. And I'll let you squeeze them for a discount.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Yeah. You really didn't have to. I was playing with you.
I like how you thanked me. I did not.
I know.
He's right.
He's like, thank you so much.
Thank you, Gregory.
I'll make sure you guys are taken care of. Well, how about this? How about you guys? We can figure out how you get a hold of one, and then we can do a follow up show, and you can talk about your body composition changes.
That's brilliant. And I'd also like to include...
Right, because that's totally applicable to your audience. And they trust you guys. It's great. If somebody can say, "I put on 5 pounds of muscle and lost 17 pounds of fat." That just happened to some 55-year-old guy the other day where he messages me and he showed his body composition DEXA results. And they would have been impressive on a 25-year-old kid.
Wow.
And this guy's 55. Yep.
Well, let me tell you, I am the perfect candidate because I am in perimenopause. I'm in probably the worst shape I've ever been. I've never been a heavy person, but I am carrying belly fat now because, you know, I'm going to be 49. And I've just been so busy with other things that I haven't been investing in myself very much in that way. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, with hormonal issues, that would be amazing to be able to actually go and do like a Dutch lab test in, say, 6 months after using the X-Bar and doing the OsteoStrong and seeing where my testosterone levels
are. Oh, check
are.
Out your hormone levels. That's,
yeah.
There you go. There's evidence right there.
It's X3-Bar.
X3-Bar.
Well, I would do both.
Yeah.
I would do both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
X3-Bar, well, yeah, you said X.
Oh, X3-Bar.
Yeah, it's X3-Bar.
Got it.
X3-Bar and OsteoStrong, right. You do those together, and then we just do a battery of tests pre and post and see what happens.
Nice.
Yeah?
Very cool.
I'm in.
Well,
awesome.
Thank you so much for being here, and we will have you back, and thanks for your fantastic contribution to society, you know, to the health of
awesome.
Humans.
Maybe in between the follow-up show, we could all meet up at the Los Angeles OsteoStrong and we could shoot a video.
That would
be
amazing.
Neat.
We could even do like a Facebook Live or something.
Right. It's somebody, because a lot of this is really exciting if people see what's going on. In fact, what you if I point out the right stuff and get the camera like focused on somebody's knee joint, you can actually see the femur compressing and getting shorter for that 5 second period, and then springing back into position.
Oh man!
Your bones are bendable. Your bones are pliable. You just don't know.
You know,
and
that makes me think.
It's fascinating.
It makes me think of something we actually didn't touch on. We did a little bit, but about injury. So, like, my husband's a chiropractor, and he's been doing. He teaches, but he's a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and he's super, super, super active guy. But he's always had this lower back issue, and he's been kind of training himself out of this spondylolisthesis, like. You know, sciatica issue forever. Sure. And the work that he has developed just on his own through researching and through doing his finding out what's working for him is definitely no more weights. He's like, he just doesn't do weights anymore. And he's starting to do this sort of resistance training with bands and things on his own. And I'm trying to get him to go to OsteoStrong because I'm like, look, it sounds like so much of what you're doing. It sounds like
it's you need to get him an X3. Yeah. X3 will change his life. X3 to him will be like the guy who's on the road all the time and the first time he got an iPhone. You know, moving from a flip phone, it'll be like, oh, like this changed my life. That is what he will say about X-ray.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm in. He's in. I'm going to get him convinced. To do it.
I mean, from the start of this, when Catalina sent me a picture, I was like, yeah, I mean, great. Another LA fitness thing.
We've never done an LA fitness thing. This is our first fitness person. Oh, you mean in general?
Yes, in general.
I'm okay.
About to berate
There's
me
a lot
on
of LA
for something
fitness
I didn't
things,
say.
Right.
But after hearing you,
that was almost like CNN.
That's all it is. It's just arguing back and forth. Yep. Yes, but after hearing you and listening to you and I'm going to go research some of this evidence that you speak of, and which I believe this is amazing stuff. And I'm now certainly. One,
you
curious.
Need it too.
I need it too, because I just turned 50, and I just don't have the energy. I don't go to a gym anymore. I hate it. Can't do it. I do lift some weights at home, but even then, that's becoming sort of just burdensome and not where I want to be. I just feel like it's just doing more damage than good.
Yeah. Well, sure. It sounds like you have two new.
So you got it.
Customers,
yeah, you got me. You got me in, man. Thank you.
Awesome.
Okay. Thanks again.
Absolutely.
Thanks again. I'm gonna let you go and talk about you some more behind your back.
Nice.
All right.
I like
Squeeze
it.
Mr. T for me, and we'll talk to you really soon and see you in LA.
All right,
okay.
Guys.
Yeah.
Bye.
Take care.
All right. Have a good
you
day.
Too.
All right. Bye-bye.
See?
That's wow. Wow. I'm impressed. I really am. I'm definitely going to go check this out.
He was coughing too, though. Did you notice? He was coughing too.
Yeah, he was
maybe
a little
we're both allergic to technology. Yeah, so I think that I'm going to do it. I want to see if Charlie's down with it, if he wants to come and do it too. But
well, I think you don't have to say much for Charlie. I mean, you just say, look, I mean, he's showing extraordinary results from people who have worse conditions than he has. Mm-hmm. And something he's been contending with all his life, you said.
Yeah.
I mean, how could he not be open to this? This is up his alley.
Well, like I said, some of what Charlie's already developing with his own personal workouts for his injured back is tremendous, and it's along the same concepts as this. It's not this high impact stuff, but it is, because it's this resistance band stuff. And anyway, it sounds
similar.
Yeah,
but he can't do five times his body weight with the bands he has.
No, he can't.
Right.
Right. So you have these machines are very, very special.
I wanted to mention this, and I didn't say it to him, but I believe Bruce Lee's workout was very similar in nature, because his was just like you get a bar on a rope and you hold it hard as you can, as long as you can.
Mm.
And he did that with a lot of his routines. I guess it was like calisthenics, which is just resistance training.
Mm-hmm.
Just until you fatigue, do another position, fatigue, and hold it. It's like keeping the muscle. I guess this is similar on the machines.
Yeah, imagine pushing against a static, immovable wall. Just pushing against it in one's place as hard as you possibly can for like 5 seconds.
And then it just keeps coming back? I mean, it adjusts as you're going along?
It does a little bit. It moves a little bit. but not much.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And then you watch this little bar and you have to try to make it past this red mark. And so, you know, there's this tiny bit of competition in you to try to push
past. Well, how does it know? Does it, like, you have to put your information in on the machine?
Yeah. All your information is in the machine. So it's calibrated by the time you sit on it. The minute you go in and check in with the front desk, the machine is calibrated for you. And you sit down and it's like, hi, kitty. I'm like, oh, hi.
A little AI. Hey, how are you doing today?
Yeah. It doesn't say that. Right. It spells it out. So, I don't know. I hope you guys have one of these near you because they're not everywhere. But you could buy the X Bar. I want to do that.
I think we should do that. We should do it where we test out this equipment.
Yeah.
And then follow what he sets out for us, mm-hmm. and then come back with a follow up and say, okay. Because I want to be able to go, wow, that was amazing. Yeah. Look at me.
Or look at all the time I wasted. You know, yeah. I want to be able to say it. Yeah, I tried it and it was okay. Or it was awesome, you know.
Hey, let us know what you think, folks.
For sure.
Yeah, please. We'd like to get your feedback on this.
And I wanted to invite everybody, speaking of hormone levels and hormone balancing, this would be a fantastic thing to do. It's what I'm going to do, which is to take the Dutch test that I'm offering now. You take the Dutch test and you check all your hormone levels, and then you do a good clean nutrition plan for a while, like the Total Gut Makeover. And then you take the Dutch test again in 6 months after doing like OsteoStrong and doing some kind of something significant, but something natural, like multiple natural things to try to alter or get your levels into a healthy range. So I'm offering the Dutch test. You can go to dutchtest.com and you can purchase it with a coupon. That's MDW100. MDW100, you'll get $100 off of the Dutch test by going there and purchasing it. Or you can go on to healthygutgirl.com and make an appointment and get the test plus a consultation with me. You could do that on Dedicated Wellness. I keep saying Dedicated Wellness.
I'm wondering what you're doing.
It's
over
because
there.
I'm multitasking, making sure I got that right.
No multitasking.
Yeah, boy. So then the other thing I wanted to invite you to do was sign up for your free Premier Research Labs account so you can have access to high-quality nutraceuticals at really good discounted rates. And you can only do that through going to healthygutgirl.com and clicking on the shop page, because you can get them on Amazon, but I'm telling you, they're not supposed to be selling them on Amazon. It's illegal. And so you don't really know what you're getting. You don't know if you're really getting a bottle of HCL or just a bottle of baking soda. You don't know. So be careful about where you get your stuff from. And then what was the other thing? Gosh, there's so many fantastic sponsors, different
Thrive.
Companies that have been on Just
love
Thrive.
Thrive. I love Just Thrive.
And they've been sponsoring us as well, and they are super supportive of us, and that is a spore-based probiotic. Mm-hmm. It is not a typical probiotic. It's not the kind of probiotic that can't make it past your gastric system and die en route to the place they're meant to
be. It's the only true probiotic to use.
Right.
Yeah.
Really is so far. And it's like a little shell, isn't it? It's like a spore. It goes in, passes the gastric acids, gets into your large intestine, where it then sort of hatches, so to speak, and then it can flourish and re-inoculate the gut. It only takes a few months to really start to reestablish healthy gut terrain, and Just Thrive has been tremendous for us. I was slightly skeptical over the months because I was like, wow, nothing's happening. But now I'm on a roll with it, and I love it, and it's making a huge difference. And
go back and listen to the podcast if you haven't already with Kieran.
With Kieran Krishna.
It was one of our best, I would think.
One of the absolute.
It really was mind-blowing. Gut-blowing.
Well, we're going to have him on again, gut-blowing for sure.
Gut-blown is right.
And we're going to talk about their other product, which is the KAD product, I think, or KA product.
Wasn't it K2?
K2 product.
Yeah, because I have it.
Oh, you do? Did you buy it?
No, it was a mistake. Oh. Well, I mistakenly ordered the wrong one. I was like, what is this? I ordered Thrive, and I contacted them. So I gave them an email, and I said, hey, I got the wrong product. And the customer service came back and said, no, you ordered this. I went, it completely was a mistake. I didn't really want this. So what do I got to do to return this and get you another one? And they came back and said, don't worry about it. They sent me Thrive for free, and I got both.
That's great. Yes. They're so nice.
That was really great customer service. I went, based on that, I will keep buying it. But awesome. Not just that. I love the product itself, and the science behind it is profound.
Yeah, it is. Curon is amazing. And so is everybody that works there. They're so fantastic. And so then we have S.A. Wilson's. Guys, S.A. Wilson's is a coffee enema coffee. And guess what? We're going to do a giveaway soon, so I have to call him and let him know we're ready. But we're also going to launch the coffee enema video that we made. We actually made a coffee enema video.
I was just going to say that.
It's so good. It is done in a silent film style, like a Charlie Chaplin style. And we're going to do enema kit, beginner's enema kit with a couple pounds of coffee giveaway on Instagram. So you have to look out for it because the video launch is going to be on Instagram, even though the whole thing won't be on there. You'll have to watch it on my YouTube channel. And I'll let you guys know when that's going to happen. But S.A. Wilson's is awesome. So go to healthygutgirl.com and go to the shop page, and you'll see the S.A. Wilson's link there. And
thank you for supporting us.
Yeah, we have so much exciting stuff coming up. Also, the Verisana. We'll talk about that later. They do a it's like a – you do a poop test, you know, at home, and they take you mail your poop in, and then they, like, check out all of the different microbes and stuff in your gut and all of the bacteria. And I'm going to share my results with everybody. Being healthy gut girl, I have to be transparent about my actual gut results. And you're going to be surprised, actually.
You get to know more about Kat than her parents do.
More than what?
Your parents do. They know more about you than your parents do.
Yeah.
Really. Mom doesn't even know how much bacteria is in her fecal matter. No. You're getting an inside look.
Inside look at my poop.
You're like, what are you saying?
Anyway, so I guess that's it, everybody. Everybody gonna say goodbye. Gonna say goodbye.
I'm gonna go fly and go eat some lunch.
Yeah, we need some lunch.
Love you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Yay!